Good evening and welcome to Thunderdome Metal Reviews. You are here for the Spooktober Spooktacular. And we're discussing King Diamond. Thanks, Tracy. Here with me tonight, as well as Tracy, are David and Ben. How's everybody doing?
I think you need to ask King Diamond that question.
Why? Because he's sending you the paychecks?
He's bad-wrestling in my room and torturing me and making
he's
me.
He's bankrolling your torture chamber. Is that what's going on?
He's making big moves in the torture industry.
Wishing I was dressed in white.
It's David's own personal torture story.
Ugh.
Ain't that the truth? Well, tonight we are discussing the debut album of this King Diamond, which is entitled Fatal Portrait. And oh, what a portrait it is.
Strong album cover, for sure. Released on March 14th, 1986, recorded at Soundtrack Studio in Copenhagen, Denmark. Runtime of 41 minutes and 41 seconds. It was released on Roadrunner. King Diamond, Rune Hoyer, and Michael Diener were the producers. The band members were King Diamond, vocals and guitar on Voice from the Past, and the other Rogue guitars, Michael Diener guitar, Timmy Hansen bass, and Mickey D drums. So the majority of Merciful Fate came in and helped out on this.
Perhaps not enough.
Womp, so, womp, womp.
If you didn't know you were listening to a King Diamond album, you find out real fucking quick on this album.
I mean, if you've listened to all the other episodes, I've already let you know that I am not a huge fan of this first one. Because I feel he felt... And I would, too, if I were him and had this voice. He felt he really needed to just bring his A game now that he was solo. And so it is absolutely front and center with no mitigating or buttressing elements. I mean, it's, you know, there's some good riffs on here. And I know Gabe is aghast at me saying this right now, but I feel it's just, if you like or can tolerate King Diamond's vocals, this is a journey into his mind and shows you where his soul odyssey began. If you are like me and the more you listen to him, the more you wanted to just eat glass in the Matter of Abigail 2, then this album is probably the hardest one of all of them.
I think you're right in a certain way, to the extent that he hasn't yet figured out how he's going to do stuff on this project. And the music is doing something completely different as well. Mm. So is it a little bit more grating? I would agree that it's a little bit more grating, but it is the whole approach is different to me.
Sure.
I'd never listened to this before I picked it for tonight. And I was really surprised, although I probably shouldn't have been, but it's just like a straight ahead heavy metal, but it has that over the topness of, you know, the shock rock, you know. It's like there's some really cool stuff on here, but it's just a totally different thing than all the concept albums to come, and that means it's not as creepy, and maybe it doesn't pull you in as much.
It's not as creepy, but it's definitely cheesy, and I am fucking here for
yes
that.
It's over the top. It's super over. So if you like power metal, if you like any of that kind of stuff, you'll like this.
Oh, is that why I didn't like this then?
It was a double down on top of it.
No, dude. I can't. I guess it's better than second derivative order cheese where people are pretending to be this. But
find your home in the NES, SNES, like sound samples in here as well that kind of played.
See, that shit pissed me off too, because, and I understand the years, I know when this happened, but the keyboard on pretty much all these albums doesn't do them any favors. And sometimes I like fucking New Wave. There are times where I really like Bleeps and Bloops.
This is very shocking.
But that's what this is, Gabe, this is what I mean about all the boxes are checked, and yet when you put the puzzle on the table, it just doesn't come together for me. That's what I'm trying to say. Every box, everything that I like is here, but the way he arranges it, just it doesn't work for me, and that's a me problem, I guess. Sorry, yeah, Ben.
No, I was going to say that, like, this album does sound dated in a way that the ones from just 1 or 2 years later do not. And I think that, you know, this is, yeah, So a lot of the stuff that you guys have already said. So it's like him leaning really heavily on his voice because that's, you know, what got him in the door. Was his singing. I do think that there's a bit of a puppy with big feet here. This was my least favorite of the ones that we listened to for Spooktacular. But he has a short story in the here. So he's like beginning to even put together, although it's not sequenced incredibly well, because like it's the first four tracks of the album, then the last track of the album tell a story. But it's only part of the album, so it doesn't quite work as well. But you can kind of, I guess what I'm trying to say is the bones are there. He just hasn't fully fleshed it out, other than the fact that the playing, other than like it sounding dated, with the bleeps and bloops from the keyboards, especially. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's very rough around the edges. And I think they do all right with terms of, in terms of the first album. They don't have the hiccups that you typically would with the first album, because these guys are experienced musicians for the most part in a different band. So like this is really nothing new for them, but it's also like things are different. So it's kind of like a new environment for them. But I agree that they're like, well, we know who the moneymaker is in this. I mean, his name's on the band, so let's put it front and center. And I think part of it is like you're missing, I don't think Andy Roque has quite developed his songwriting yet to be on par, like you get with later albums with Abigail and them, to kind of like I'll offset King Diamond's voice to where you don't have the issue where, like David, it's too much. And I feel like later albums, like Andy kind of improves as a songwriter to kind of make it out.
I think there are also, not only is the music sort of not in a storytelling kind of mode with like thoughts about flow and drama and stuff, they're also doing some stylistically different things that you will never ever see again later on. Like, there's cheesy bits that of course will occur if you're, you know, entering the sort of kind of horror genre, but like wolves howling like on this record, it's like it's just kind of silly. But that said, there is a track on here, for instance, that sounds like Candlemass, or it sounds like, you know, some early Sabbath. There's not a lot of doom to be found really on the other records that we listen to, so that's kind of interesting. And there's also a track on here that kind of reminded me of the soundtracks to Dario Argento films. Mm-hmm. You know that band Goblin that did all the soundtracks for him? Like, it's fun stuff. It's like sort of proggy, kind of just like driving, but it meant to be like kind of suspenseful and creepy, so that's interesting.
Yeah, there are a lot of elements here. It just doesn't really come together in this one. But again, it's a first album. You know, and thinking back to other Spooktaculars that we've done, it's not as good as Ozzy's first album, but the songwriting on Ozzy's first album was a lot better. But, you know, Ozzy was also a bigger star than King Diamond was, and to King Diamond's credit, as opposed to Ozzy, King Diamond also writes his own stuff. So it wasn't like he could just like have like really awesome stuff written for him.
Yeah, not everybody walks into a Randy Rhoads on your first solo album.
Well, they certainly no, don't. They don't. But like, Andy LaRocque is certainly, or LaRocque, I don't know. I've been saying LaRocque, so I guess I'll stay with it. Is certainly no, you know, isn't him, but he isn't bad either. I mean, if you're going to have a guitarist, he's not a bad substitute for Randy Rhoads.
No, he's quite good. He's carrying a lot of these albums, in my opinion, which I know you're not supposed to say, or supposed to show up for the name on the front, but there's riffage happening on all of them to varying degrees.
For sure.
Trix, is that where we're at?
Yeah, we could do that. So I think that side A is tight. It's really, really tight. I just dig it all the way through. I also enjoy Haunted and The Lake, which is the bonus track. that song Halloween is going on my holiday playlist, even though it's really cheesy.
Yeah, I would say that The First Side and Haunted are what stand out on this. Halloween is cheesy, but it's cheesy in a way that I didn't particularly enjoy.
Fine.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I concur the first half is a little stronger than the second half. But there were some cheesy ass songs on here, man. I don't know. This is a ride I probably won't pick again.
Yeah, no. I mean it was the high 80s in more ways than one.
Yeah.
So I'm like y'all agree that the first half is better than the second half, but I think there's also still some pretty solid bangers on the second half. I think Up Windsor Road, Sharon. Halloween is I'm here for the Cheese Fest. I'll take it any day of the week as long as cheese is on the plate. But yeah, definitely. I think overall for a debut album, it's still pretty solid overall. Much to David's chagrin.
Dude.
All right. Gabe, what would you grade this?
So I'm going to give this a solid B, an 86. I think it's not bad, but it's also like nowhere near you know, the concept albums that I enjoy.
I agree. It's nowhere near the better albums. So for me, this is a solid C, which is mostly a legacy bump.
I'm going to come up a hair from David and give this a C+. I think that if you are a fan of King Diamond, you will probably dig this because it does have all the elements that he really brings together in later albums. That just, it's not all there yet. And it's not Merciful Fate.
I guess I'm a fan of King Diamond. I'm gonna give this a B+, an 88.
Nice.
I really enjoy this album. I hear that fucking song where it's like, hey, like he does like his falsetto voice like three times in a row. Just like, I'm here. Yes, give me that the entire album. So I was, yes.
Cool. Well, on other albums, he does give that to you. So,
but not like what I'm talking about.
Sure. Well, all right. Who would buy it?
Hard pass.
Just me and Gabe?
I guess I would buy it. Yeah. I mean, that side A is pretty dang good. I just put that on.
And our average was an 82.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, I don't think I'd buy it. Although I do really like that cover art. So anyway, what are we doing next time, Brown Tea?
Next time, for our Halloween release, we're doing a group this choice of the eye. I don't know how we came across it. I don't remember.
I think you just chose it. You may have did it randomly, allegedly, but I think you just chose
it. Yeah, I don't remember. So
it said group's choice. I'm like, I don't remember choosing this.
I don't remember being involved at all, but it's whatever.
I don't remember picking either. Maybe Gabe picked it.
Oh, no. Is that what happened?
No, I definitely didn't. David, you were under sedation at the time. That's why you don't remember.
I was bleeding from my eye.
You're bleeding profusely.
The eye, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you treated me, but only then.
Indeed.
Great.
Join us for that.
Because.